Good morning. It's Friday, August 23rd. I'm Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, how Democrats move to the right on immigration, why ex-athletes with brain injuries say the NFL concussion settlement is broken, and what do you do when you break your Olympic gold medal? But first, Kamala Harris accepted the Democratic Party nomination for president at the convention last night. She opened with thanks to President Biden and a nod to the unbelievable sequence of events that led to her replacing him at the top of the ticket.
The path that led me here in recent weeks was no doubt unexpected. But I'm no stranger to unlikely journeys.
She credited family with getting her ready for this moment.
At the park, my mother would say, "Stay close." But my father would say, as he smiled, "Run, Kamala, run. Don't be afraid. Don't let anything stop you."
She talked about her record as a prosecutor and as Biden's VP, about reproductive rights and abortion access. And she repeatedly made the case against former President Trump.
"Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious. Consider not only the chaos and calamity when he was in office, but also the gravity of what has happened since he lost the last election."
The speech had some of her most extensive remarks on foreign policy since she started this campaign. She touched on China and Ukraine, and she spent a lot of time on the war in Gaza, which has split her party. She tried to speak to all sides, including Democratic supporters of Israel.
"And let me be clear, I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself, and I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself."
And to frustrated Democrats who feel that the Biden administration isn't doing enough to support Palestinian civilians.
"At the same time, what has happened in Gaza over the past 10 months is devastating. So many innocent lives lost. Desperate, hungry people fleeing for safety over and over again. The scale of suffering is heartbreaking."
My colleague Gideon Resnick was there and heard common threads from Harris's career.
Really, a lot of the background, personal stories, approach, delivery, in fact, had hallmarks of her previous campaign in 2019. It just feels like it's a very different moment, but the same candidate delivering a lot of the same kind of speeches and approach.
Across history, the vice presidency has sometimes been a political road to nowhere. That's not the case for Harris. On CNN, Dana Bash talked about how this speech capped off her history-making rise.
"She was dismissed and underestimated. And even now, some Biden aides are saying that they didn't treat her the way that they should have. And the theme of this speech was that she's an underdog. The theme of the speech was, don't underestimate America. Don't underestimate all of us. And that is her story. That is her story in the brief 4 years that we have seen her picked by President Biden, and in the 4 weeks since she has been a candidate for president in her own right."
One unexpected voice joined the chorus of analysts on TV afterwards. Trump railed about Harris in real time on social media, but he had more to say, as he often does. So he did, as he often does. He called in to Fox News.
"Why didn't she do the things that she's complaining about? All of these things that she talked about, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do everything, but she didn't do any of it. She could have done it 3.5 years ago. She could do it tonight."
Not in attendance last night, Beyonce or Taylor Swift. Speculation swirled that Harris would have a blockbuster surprise musical guest. That didn't pan out. Though, remember, Beyoncé did famously serenade the Obamas at their inaugural ball in 2009. So if Harris wants a Beyoncé moment of her own, she has a lot of work to do. We'll have more coverage of where the Harris campaign is at the end of this big week in the next episode of Apple News in Conversation. Look out for that later on today. One theme this week at the DNC has been immigration, with Harris and other Democrats trying to demonstrate that they're tough on the issue.
Let's be clear. The border is broken.
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border.
As a prosecutor, she took on transnational gangs and cartels.
Last year, Joe and I brought together Democrats and conservative Republicans to write the strongest border bill in decades.
For the first time in nearly two decades, polling shows the majority of Americans want less immigration. The Trump campaign is trying to use this issue against Harris, who worked on immigration-related policies for the White House. Recognizing this as among her biggest political vulnerabilities, the 2024 Democratic platform now supports faster deportations and stricter asylum rules.
The DNC this year is remarkable in how quietly the party has shifted its tone and manner of speaking about immigration.
We spoke to Christian Paz, a senior politics reporter at Vox.
A lot of the shift that Democrats have been making in the way that they speak about immigration and they speak about the border reflects the way that the public and the American electorate have kind of soured on immigration in general. This speaks to both legal and illegal immigration, where we've seen a pretty interesting shift since the pandemic, where the public just tends to be more critical and more suspicious about levels of immigration, about the security at the southern border.
Border security has been one of the biggest rallying cries for Republicans in recent election years, particularly with Trump. In fact, at the RNC last month, people waved signs that read "Mass deportations now," and speakers used terms like "invasion" when talking about immigration. Democrats may emphasize a humane approach toward migrants themselves, but when it comes to policy, Paz says the party as a whole has moved further to the right on this issue.
Democrats have always struggled to do, and in the past have never really wanted to embrace having to speak aggressively or tough manner about the border, because the party has historically been the one that's more open to diversity, more open to globalism, more open to the plight of migrants, and willing to defend the rights and opportunities for migrants coming to the U.S., especially because that was the big contrast and the big foil that they could make against President Trump in those years. That has clearly shifted. They're clearly recognizing that they need to be a little bit more, you know, strategic about how they talk about the issue.
For example, we've heard many speakers this week go after Trump for pushing his allies in the Senate to kill a bipartisan border security bill earlier this year. And the party is highlighting Harris's record as a former prosecutor who went after transnational criminal gangs and human traffickers. Paz says it's a far cry from 4 years ago at the DNC, when an 11-year-old girl read a letter to then-President Trump describing how his administration had deported her mother. Paz says gone are the days of heartfelt testimonies from undocumented immigrants, stories of families fleeing war and famine for a better life. Just as polls show some Americans changing their feelings on immigration, Democrats seem to be shifting with them. Let's turn now to one of the most concerning health problems in professional sports, CTE, the brain disease often linked to football. Years ago, the NFL reached a historic settlement promising treatment for players with brain injuries. But lots of players say the NFL is coming up short on its promises and payments. Take the case of Howard Hale. Decades after suiting up for the LA Rams, he was forgetting simple things and sometimes having sudden outbursts of anger. And he worried he had CTE. But when Hale got screened through the settlement, he didn't qualify for settlement money or medical care. After that, things declined quickly, as Washington Post reporter Will Hobson explains.
His condition worsens, and 2 years later, he, very out of character, for him, according to his family. He attacks his wife, she leaves him, and he dies by suicide 2 weeks later. Probably the last thing he ever said on this earth, he left a voicemail for his wife apologizing, saying that it wasn't him that attacked her, and asking her to preserve his brain. Now, the autopsy found that he had CTE, but he also had Alzheimer's disease.
The Post's investigation found many failures that have delayed payments to players. At least two have died while waiting to be paid. And many players have stories like Hale's. They've been denied compensation from the NFL, even though doctors found they had major neurological problems. The Post found that the NFL is relying on old screening methods instead of modern-day technology that could better identify brain problems. Hobson says in Hale's case, better screening could have gotten him better treatment, and it might have saved his life.
If the settlement valuation had had an amyloid PET scan, there's a pretty good chance that it would have detected that, and that that doctor at the time would have known that this guy does not have a clean bill of health, that there's a brain disease here.
Many doctors that Hobson spoke to were surprised that the settlement hasn't updated its screening tools.
You know, the point they make is that if you're trying to figure out if a guy has a brain disease, that technology's out there, and the NFL could pay for it if they wanted to.
Hobson says the families he's talked to think the NFL isn't living up to its promise to keep up with the current science and provide quality care.
I mean, I think it's safe to say that the lack of this technology is saving the NFL tens of millions in medical costs just in, as part of the evaluation process, and then potentially a significant amount more in terms of claims paid, medical care they would be covering for players who would qualify if the doctors had the benefit of this technology.
The NFL wouldn't make any league officials available to the Post for comment. An outside lawyer who handled the settlement for the league defended the screening practices. With the NFL's regular season just around the corner, a lot of former players and their families say they want to see the NFL update its practices to not just protect them, but also future generations of athletes. Before we let you go, here are some other stories being featured in the Apple News app. New COVID-19 vaccines are now approved by the FDA and will be available in the coming weeks. Previously, these kinds of approvals came in September, but the summer surge of COVID made it important to make new protection available sooner. The CDC recommends that everyone aged 6 months and older get an updated shot, especially older Americans. In education news, major new data is out showing the impact of a Supreme Court ruling against race-conscious admissions. MIT says the number of Black and Latino students dropped sharply in the first incoming class since the court's decision. The class of 2028 has more Asian American and white students than previous ones. The numbers are getting a lot of attention because MIT is the first selective university to put out these stats since the ruling. And finally, one American's Olympic gold medal already has a dent in it. Soccer player Lynn Williams says it happened while the team was dancing in celebration. Looking on the bright side, Williams pointed out that the ding makes her medal one of a kind. Still, she is asking Olympic officials if they could send over a replacement. Banged up trophies and medals are a long tradition in sports. Perhaps the most frequently mistreated one is the NHL's Stanley Cup, which has been dented, dropped, and hurled into a pool by happy hockey champions. In fact, the Hockey Hall of Fame has a lot of experience repairing damaged metal. So if Williams can't get a replacement, she might try asking the hockey experts to fix her dinged gold. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article playing for you next. GQ looks at corporate whistleblowing and how those who point out wrongdoing can make millions of dollars. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll be back with the news on Monday.